Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals, and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you, and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. So if you remember, last Sunday I gave you three challenges, and it's a hope that you did at least the first of the three challenges, and we'll talk more about the other challenges in the upcoming Sundays. The three challenges, if you remember, was first, to do something different, to break your routine. The second challenge was to reflect on Jesus daily, whether it's 5 minutes, whether it's 15 minutes, or even a half an hour. Reflect on Jesus Christ and the amazing things that he did and what his relationship with you means to you. And the third one is to act on your faith, to be in service of others, just as Jesus served others. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, I ask that the words of my mouth speak your words and your truth. The meditations of our hearts truly reflect who you are, Lord, and that you know our thoughts and prayers. Amen. So hopefully you've had a chance to do challenge one number one this week, to break routine. I myself did a couple of things, and they're simple things. Usually on Tuesdays I have Chinese food. Of course, working here in Chinatown, you're most likely going to have Chinese food. But Phil came with me, and we went to the Little Jewel of New Orleans and had sandwiches instead. So instead of my usual ganlongmin or changlohao or other foods I like to eat or dim sum, I had the Godfather Bayou sandwich. So it was this large meatball sandwich. The meatballs were the size of my fist. They were quite large, with meatball sauce and cheese and cabbage. It was a good meal to have. I broke routine. And yes, it did feel kind of odd sitting there in that restaurant instead of a usual Chinese food place on Tuesday. And then I also drove a different way to work. Instead of just continuing on the 60 to the 101 or the 5 freeway, I instead went on the 60 to the 710 and got off at Valley and then drove all the way down Valley to the church. It took a little bit longer, but it was an interesting thing to see all the different sites and broke routine that way. And it did feel odd when I arrived to church. And then I also decided to watch something different. As I shared last week, I love the TV show MasterChef and seeing the cooking challenge and who's eliminated that episode. I didn't watch that show this week and instead watched a couple of episodes of a comedy on Netflix. So that was different and I broke routine. So what did you do to break routine? I ask you now, if you're brave enough, to maybe raise your hand and share something you did this week to break routine. Do we have anybody who's willing to share? Okay, well, think about that. Do we see? I see some people who are in Laker gear this morning instead of their usual Sunday clothing. A good crowd here, and the Laker season hasn't started yet, right? Okay. But so you broke routine, I would say, because you didn't wear your usual Sunday clothing and you have your Laker jerseys and t-shirts on, so that's kind of a break in routine. And I would just encourage you then to this week think about breaking routine. Because as we look at this morning's scripture passages, Jesus and his disciples were traveling from village to village. Jesus did something unique in this passage from Mark. He actually challenged the disciples in a way then to break routine. But first, let's look at the routine that Jesus and the disciples had. They had been traveling from city to city, from village to village, that by the time we reach this passage in Mark 6, we see that they've done different things. Jesus and his disciples have traveled to a wedding in Cana, and Jesus has turned wine and water into wine. Jesus and his disciples, they've seen Jesus being baptized and preaching to the people who'd gathered at the Jordan River. And Jesus and his disciples have even spoken to a Samaritan woman in Samaria. They have traveled from village to village, so that soon for the disciples, these travels of going to village and reaching out to different people have then become routine. And we know from last morning's passage, also from Mark, earlier in chapter 6, that Jesus is back in his hometown and is preaching to the people there and getting a warm reception. And then Jesus, after this time, he tells his disciples to go out in two by two. He's breaking routine with them. Because up until now, they have traveled together from village to village. They have stayed in homes together. They have eaten together. They have done all these things that a routine has developed. They say that for normal people, routine can happen when you do something just 3, 4, even 5 times over and over and over again. Even learning a phone number, 7 numbers long, is easy to do when you say the number 6 or 7 times over and over again. It becomes routine. When you first had a new job or went to a new school, how did you get to that location? You probably followed one path and then kept following that path. And then before you know it, you knew that path by heart. How many of you have arrived to work or to school and gotten your car from your front door and arrived at the work and thought, how did I get here? It's so routine, right? You don't remember, but it's something that you've repeated over and over again that becomes so routine. You could do it even, they say, with your eyes closed. Of course, I don't recommend driving to work or school with your eyes closed, but you know it by heart. It's so routine that you can always go the same way. So from the disciples that we learn in the mission that Jesus is calling them this morning to break this routine, to do something new and different in a way. And we can learn from the mission that the disciples took, Jesus' mission, that is our mission here today. We can learn 3 things from the disciples as they took on this new mission that Jesus had called them to do. First, we can learn that the mission of Jesus begins small. Not large, not big, but small, with a small group of devoted persons. We can also learn from this morning's mission that the mission of Jesus requires the disciples and us today to give God everything, no matter how big or small it is. And we also learn, 3, that the mission of Jesus, it is not easy, and there will be challenges. Challenges that the disciples face and challenges that we face today as we fulfill the mission of Jesus. But first, let's look at what Jesus says to disciples in Mark chapter 6, verse 6b and 7. It says that Jesus went among the villages teaching, and he called the 12 disciples and began to send them out to by 2, and he gave them authority over unclean spirits. It's interesting to see that Jesus has 12 disciples, but he didn't send the 12 together as a group away from them. He sent them 2 by 2, a small group at first. So they've had their routine, they've eaten with Jesus, all 12 of them, they've worshipped with him, they've slept in rooms with him, they've done all these things together, and now Jesus is saying, you must go out 2 by 2, to do new things in a repetition in a way, but just the 2 of them this time. So you remember that Jesus, at the end of these 2 verses, says to them that he gives them authority over unclean spirits. It is so important that the disciples received Jesus' authority. We today ourselves receive authority from Jesus when we have Jesus in our heart. When we read the Word of God in the Gospels, when we are baptized, when we take communion together, we are reminded of the authority that we are given as followers of Christ to go out into the world and make disciples. So then when the disciples left in groups of 2 by 2, that was their challenge, to go out into the world to spread the Word of God and to make other disciples. Now some might wonder, why did Jesus just first start with only 12 men? He had so many opportunities to gather more followers, more disciples, more people who were committed to follow him day by day, to village, to sleep, to eat, to preach, to teach with him. He only chose 12. When he was baptized by John in the Jordan River, he could have easily said to all those people at the river, come and follow me, and people would have followed him. When he went back to his hometown and was in the temple of Nazareth, he could have said to them, come and follow me, and people would have followed him. But no, he stuck to a small group of 12, and then he took that small group of 12 and broke them up into even smaller groups of 2. It's interesting to see what strategy might involve in Jesus' decision to do that. For we are reminded in the words of Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, about the faith of a mustard seed. Jesus says to his disciples, "Because of your little faith, for truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." For Jesus knows in that little small mustard seed, and if you've ever seen a mustard seed, it is hard to see. Even a person with really good vision might have to go like this and look at it in its palm. Because the mustard seed, yes, is so small. But even in the smallness of a mustard seed, if faith is there, true faith, then amazing things can happen. And that is what Jesus is reminding his disciples of. So even just two people, but two people with strong, unending faith, with authority given from Jesus, can do amazing things. So yes, the mission of Jesus began with a small group of people, but it was powerful and mighty. I share with you a story of two people who had strong faith that they then affected other people and made more disciples. This happened to my own family. When my parents were first married, the Vietnam War happened. They were Chinese immigrants living in Vietnam, and then the Vietnam War broke out and they came to the U.S. But it's not like today where you can hop on a plane and come directly to the U.S. They were in a large airplane hangar, and my mom said they all sat on the floor, and I was just a year old, so I was in her lap. And she said the first flight over to Guam, when they got up and walked off the plane, her dress was wet because I had gone to the bathroom in her dress. And then from Guam, they went to the Philippines. And in the Philippines, my mom, who was also not just caring for me, about a 1.5-year-old, but she was 7 months pregnant. And they stayed in the Philippines with other refugees for a full week, staying on an army base, living in a large airplane hangar just on cots. And the meals they had were the meals in the mess hall after the soldiers ate. They would then go, all the immigrants would be allowed to go and get what food was left over. And my dad had to stand in a long line. And because my mom was 7 months pregnant, because she had me, she would stay in the tent area or the cots in the big airplane hangar while my dad would go in line to get food. And people would line up because they were ready to eat as soon as the soldiers were done eating, because then it was their turn to be served. And my poor dad would stand in line, get one tray, because it was one tray per person, take that tray back to my mom in the airplane hangar, give her and me food, and then get back in line again. And sometimes there would not be food left by the time my dad got back in line. So there were two Red Cross workers who saw what my dad was doing, and by the third day they approached my parents and said they wanted to help. So these Red Cross workers took their own time. One stayed with my mom and helped watch me, and the other lined up with my dad so two trays of food could be gotten. These Red Cross workers were also Christians. And my mom shares stories of the times that the one would stay with her to watch me, and that she would pray with my mom, and she would tell my mom about Jesus Christ and share her own faith and how her faith called her to be a Red Cross worker. And the other Red Cross worker would do the same while talking in line to my dad. And when they would have food together, they would pray together and teach my mom and dad more about Christ and the Lord. These two people with small faith did amazing things, touching my family and immigrant family and other people probably in the Philippines. It's amazing to see how just even two people can have such strong faith and be such strong examples of Jesus' mission. So we now know that when the disciples are sent out by Jesus in two, it's a very important thing because he has assurance that they have strong faith and his authority as well. And then we know that Jesus, when he told the disciples to go out in two by two, in verse 8, that he orders them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts. Nothing to wear, no sandals, and not only two tunics to have. Now you wonder why that is. When you and I go on a journey, or even a 2 or 3 day thing, don't we take luggage with us? Don't we take lots of clothes? If you're like me, and Phil knows this, I sometimes take enough clothes for 6 days, even though I'm only gone for 2 days. When you came to church, those of you who have bags, you probably have tons of stuff in your bags. You have makeup, you have tissues, you have your wallet, you have your money. Even when you come to church for 2 or 3 hours a day, you are prepared with all that you bring. So then imagine the disciples being told to bring nothing at all except a staff. No bread to eat, no bag to hold their clothes or supplies in, no money in their belts to pay for food or pay for housing, which only were sandals and two tunics. That's all they had, that and the staff. And the staff is such an important symbol. I think Jesus, again, is being so smart and so strategic. For we know a staff in those times was used by the shepherds, to help guide the lambs that they were keeping watch over. If danger came nearby, the shepherds could use the staff to hit a wolf's head or hit a thief's head who wanted to take away the lamb. To protect them, the staff was used. Or the staff was used to guide the sheep to water when the shepherds knew it was time for the sheep to eat more grass, to move to a new place, or they needed water. They would use their staff to gently push the lambs to the new areas of new grass or down to the rivers to drink the water. The staff was what the shepherds used to guide the sheep to the greener pastures, to sustenance, to living water. And the staff is a symbol then the disciples used to help protect people and also to lead them to Jesus. So the staff was more than just a walking stick for their journey, but it was a symbol that people recognized and knew that Jesus had sent them out. So then when Jesus says finally to them, when you are on your mission and you go into a house, you stay there until you leave the place. Now, if you really look at this passage, when Jesus says, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place, what kind of directions is that? If I said to you, let's say, James and Vince, I want you to go to Skid Row and stay there, enter there, and stay there until you leave the place, when would we expect them back? Would we expect them back 3 hours from now? Would we expect them back tomorrow? Would they be knocking on the church door Thursday when I'm in my office saying, how long are we supposed to stay there? Jesus is telling the disciples to stay there until their mission is done, to enter a house and stay there until you leave the place, until their mission is done. Because it is not human time that they are dealing with, but they are dealing with God's time, where God's time is to fulfill the plan, the mission. So there is no marker of 1 day or 3 days or a week. Just as if I sent James and Vince out to Skid Row with just a staff, although I'm not sure if we have one here at church, but if you were to go to Skid Row and I would say, do not leave until your mission is done, we would see what would happen. And that might be another challenge in the future. So Jesus knows to tell them to only go with their staff, no money, no bread, no bag, to enter home and not leave until their mission is done. But he also knows the third point of a mission that we follow Jesus, that there are challenges to face, and it is not easy in our own mission as Christians, as followers of Christ. Jesus tells them if there is any place, he tells the disciples, there is a place that will not welcome you, and they refuse to hear you, then as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. Shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So we, many of us, most of us live in Asian households. What is the first thing we do when we enter a home? We take off our shoes, right? We take off our shoes. Why do we do that? Have we ever thought or wondered why we do that? Of course, there's the obvious, well, that's the cleanest thing to do because your shoes are dirty. But it's really a respect thing. When we enter a person's home, we take off our shoes as a sign of respect. And even in biblical times, traveling road to road, as the disciples did, their feet must have been very dusty. So for Jesus to say, as a sign of respect, shake off the dust from your feet, even in a house that rejects you, that does not let you in, does not welcome you, that is an amazing power of forgiveness, of love shown to the people who are not welcoming the disciple into their home. They are saying, fine, you don't welcome me, but I still respect you and love you, and I am shaking the dust off my feet to show you the way of Christ. And so then when the disciples are knowing that they can face these challenges, and instead of challenging the people with hate and the people who don't welcome them with rejection, they instead say, I love you, and are shaking off my feet. It says that the verse that they cast out many demons, they are anointed many with oil and cured the sick. They did the work and service of the Lord, and that's what we as Christians are called to do, to go out in small groups, to have strong faith, to know that our challenges can be faced when our faith is strong because we are anointed by Jesus, and to know that Jesus is always with us in the mission, not physically with us, just as he was not physically with the disciples when they traveled two by two, but he had given them the authority to fulfill the mission of Jesus. And we today are given the authority to fulfill Jesus' mission. Chinese UMC, we know, is a small church. We could go two, three, I guess more blocks away to other churches. FCBC, a large church with probably 1,000 some members. They even have 4 parking lots, I think the case is. And Chinese UMC has our small Kathalar Elementary School parking lot next door. And we don't have the large numbers of Centenary United Methodist Church in Little Tokyo or Hollywood United Methodist Church some miles away. But we are a small church that is fulfilling the mission of Jesus Christ. And we can learn that in our mission to give God everything and to not be on God's time, but to stay and be in mission until it is time to leave the place. And then we know that we will face challenges, but we must remember we have the authority that Jesus Christ has given us. And with this authority, we can go and share our faith, just as the Red Cross workers did, just as people do today, just as you do with your neighbors and friends. So, if you haven't broken routine yet, I encourage you this week to break routine. Maybe I'll even send out an email reminder and ask next week. Because that is the first start. Just as the disciples broke their routine of traveling all the time with Jesus, they instead went two by two. And they reflected on Jesus and shared their faith with other people. And that is challenge number 2, for you to daily reflect on Jesus. And then you can do the third one, the be in service to others, just as Jesus and his disciples were in service to others. These challenges are what we are called as Christians to face and live up to, and I want us to continue to think about how we can address these challenges to be the disciples that God has called us to be. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we see the mission, your mission lived through Jesus and his disciples. We know that the disciples went out two by two in a different routine as they were spreading the word of your love. That soon we know that salvation is available to us through the death of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. We mourn for his loss, but know that his blood was shed for us, his body was broken for us, so that we can continue the mission that you have called us to be on, that we receive salvation, the everlasting life, the waters, and guided by the shepherds of the past, that we are shepherds today. We ask, Lord, that we just continue to be your disciples, to be shepherds for those who need us, who need to you in your life, just as your Son, Jesus Christ, did. Amen.